Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the program live from the Big X studio in Jeffersonville. Glad to have you with us today. As always, plenty to get to in this 1 hour program. We're glad you're with us. And if for some reason you can't be with us live at 11 on the Big X, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com, a number of ways to listen. TuneIn app, again, a long list of how you can catch the program live each day. But if you're unable to do so, a reminder that we are available as a podcast. You can find us in Apple Podcast. Just search for the Hoosier Report. You can also find us on SoundCloud as well. And we welcome you, again, no matter how you're joining us for this Thursday edition of the program. I don't know about you, but there have been some things happen in the last 24 to 48 hours, whether it's been comments from different maybe athletic directors or people involved in college sports, maybe it's different reports or rumors that are out there about professional basketball, the NBA, and about Major League Baseball as well. But it sure seems like, at least at a professional level, we're going to get sports back in the, I don't want to say near future, but maybe the immediate future is the right word. It sounds like there is a push for NBA teams. Some have reopened or will be reopening their practice facilities. There's been lots of reports and rumors about Disney World in Florida being the host of the NBA with all of the empty hotels. And obviously it's a controlled, it's a privately owned environment that has to be maybe something that the NBA would like, as opposed to a more open environment that they can control who's there and who comes around. But it sounds like we're working towards some sports, which would be great for our country, for us locally. I don't think anyone really cares much what it is right now, but to have something to look forward to, athletic competition, games on television, is something that we would all welcome. It also sounds like there have been some people pushing forward in college football, and that there are being plans put together for some sort of college football season. So if there's good news about this virus right now, I guess from a sports perspective, there does seem to be a lot of maneuvering right now, a lot of different things out there right now, especially for professional and college sports. I'm still a little concerned about high school sports. We'll see how things go as we get through June and get into July and see if high school football teams are able to have some sort of workouts and training, even if it won't be a normal practice with full contact in the month of July. But we'll see if that happens. And if it does, perhaps we'll get to a football season and a fall sports season at some point. But still a little concerned there, because it doesn't really affect the economy like professional sports or even college sports do. I know that it's a big part of the high school experience, you could say, for student athletes at schools across the country. But if there isn't a big economy effect on it, and you know, it would affect the IHSA, it would affect local communities. There is some economic effect, but you wonder how hard they will push for high school sports if there is a risk of transmission of COVID-19, and if there still is no vaccination of the disease. So that's still concerning to me. I still have a lot of wondering and question marks about the return of high school sports, but sports in general, it does seem like we're getting closer and closer to maybe an announcement from one of the major sports leagues out there that there could be a return coming up at some point later this summer. Welcome into the show today. Let's get into the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And there's a lot to get to today. The News and Tribune, they're all area teams in boys basketball, came out today. We'll tell you about those. Also yesterday, a couple big announcements from the NCAA. They approved the resumption of voluntary on-campus workouts beginning June 1st. We'll talk about that. An update on this one-time transfer legislation that's been all over the board the last few months. We'll tell you more on that. And some good news from an academic front in Bloomington. APR scores, which is the NCAA's measuring stick for how teams individually and your athletic department as a whole is doing in the academic side of things, numbers really good for IU basketball and for the athletics department as a whole. We'll tell you about that. And also a quick update. A lot of people have said Josh Jefferson, a local guy, New Albany product, that is announced his transfer from Wisconsin Green Bay after the coach was fired on Sunday. Who's he hearing from? And we've got some of the schools, or I think all of the schools as of this morning, that have contacted Josh so far that are at least interested in his services. So we'll cover that and more in the headlines segment. Also later in the program today, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins. Alex, of course, with us on Thursdays to talk IU basketball. We'll talk about the voluntary on-campus workouts that have been approved by the NCAA. I think Alex and I are both under the understanding that it still has to be approved by the Big Ten Conference as well, based on some other regulations that they put out around the coronavirus. So, and I expect that to happen, but we'll talk with Alex about that. We'll talk about the one-time transfer rule, some of the effects on college basketball generally that it could have for next season. I don't think it will have any effects on Indiana, as Indiana has no grad transfers, which are separate from underclassmen transfers that need this one-time thing to pass to be eligible. But well, it could. And I think it will affect college basketball in some ways now that this one-time waiver is not going to happen for this season. So we'll talk about that with Alex and some other Big Ten things coming up, more on Indiana's schedule. That's on my list as well to cover with Alex later in the program. And we have our senior spotlight today. Our athlete is Madison Helton of New Washington High School. She's a softball player for the Mustangs, and we'll profile her at the end of the program today. That's a look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you go to Honey Baked Ham right now, you can buy a bone-in ham, any size, at 50% off. It's a great deal. I don't know how long it's going to last. Make sure you stop by and take advantage of it. Again, a bone-in ham at 50% off the sticker cost. You're going to get a great deal on a Honey Baked Ham if you stop by the store in New Albany today. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And as I do that, want to give you the daily reminder, we'd love to hear from you. Follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me there. You can find links to podcasts there, other news from the area and the basketball scene there as well. You could also send me your questions there. We'd love to hear from you. We'll use your question for one of our guests, for Alex today, and read your comment on the air if you take time to send something to us. We appreciate those of you that do that. You can also follow the show on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Type in the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison in the Facebook search bar, and you can like the page, get updates on the show, and follow everything going on here on the Hoosier Report each day. Okay, our Zaxby's headlines. First headline of the day, the News and Tribune All-Area Team for boys basketball released this morning. And first, the finalists. And that's important to note. They picked three finalists in each sport, which now will kind of be the finalists for the News and Tribune Yearly Sports Performance Awards, which this year will be online coming up later in June. And the three finalists this year, Trey Coleman, senior from Jeffersonville, who will play college basketball at Nevada, Also, Jake Heidbreeder of Floyd Central. Jake is an underclassman, but still getting a absolutely lot of scholarship offers and Division I interest out there. He is someone that is on the list as a finalist. That's a big honor just as an underclassman to be on the list, as is Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, Indiana's Gatorade Player of the Year. Will he win the local, basically what it is, Player of the Year award as an underclassman? I would say that's a great possibility. But those are the three finalists, and the Boys Basketball Player of the Year will be announced at the News and Tribune Sports Performance Awards, which will take place again online this year on June 16th because of the pandemic we're in. You just can't have a big award ceremony and bring all the athletes and coaches and families together right now. First team All-Area, Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, Bailey Conrad of Christian Academy, mentioned Jake Heidbreeder of Floyd Central, Cooper Jacoby of Silver Creek as well, Jacob Jones of Jeffersonville, and Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. That is your All-Area team for the 2019-2020 season. Pretty daggone good selection of players there. And the good thing about that team, out of the six players on the first team, let's see here, three of those players are underclassmen. Three of those guys will be back for another season of high school basketball here in the area. Heidbreeder, Jacoby, and of course Kaufman will return again. Second team All-Area for Clark and Floyd counties, Davon Fuqua of Clarksville, Sterling Huber of Providence, Brandon Northern of Silver Creek, T.J. Proctor of Christian Academy, and Caden Stanton of New Albany. Third team All-Area, Weston Allen of Henryville, Tucker Bivin of New Albany, Grant Goman of Floyd Central, Austin Grants of Providence, Trey Horrigan of New Albany, and Julian Hunter of New Albany as well. And if you add it all up, out of the 15 players recognized on the All-Area teams, first, second, and third, eight of the 15 players are underclassmen, which means eight of those players will be back for next season to play for their respective schools. And so if you need a reason to get excited for high school basketball and a reminder of how good hoops has been and will be in Southern Indiana, I think that fact that 8 of 15 on the All-Area teams are back for at least one more season of high school basketball here in the area, it's going to be another really fun year. Last year we had a lot of really good deep teams in the area. I'm not so sure that we'll have as many good teams, deep teams that can make runs into the tournament like I felt they could this year before it was canceled, of course. But I do feel like we're going to have some unbelievable performances and some great individual players. We'll have some good teams, don't misunderstand me, but we've got a number of really high-level players coming through the area right now on those, and that's reflected, I think, by those All-Area teams. Yesterday, a couple announcements from the NCAA. They voted on Wednesday to allow athletes in football, men's basketball, and also women's basketball to resume voluntary on-campus workouts beginning June 1st. And this vote, it lifts a previous ruling that they put in place in March when the NCAA tournaments were canceled. They canceled not only the tournament, but also spring sports. With that, they put basically a moratorium on any sort of activity that could be done on campus and in person. Of course, after that general rule regulation was put forth, many of the schools eventually ended up closing. I think all of the schools across the country ended up closing, so you didn't have to worry about off-season workouts and things like that. But a big step forward in perhaps having a college football season, and obviously we think about IU basketball first and foremost on this program. You don't want to do anything that risks health. You don't want to do anything that puts that on edge by any means, but this could be a big summer if the players are able to get back on campus at some point and do some work, do the athletic training with Cliff Marshall, Christian Lander. Obviously, you want to get him in the fold as quick as you possibly can and bring him up to speed in the off season. The individual workouts, the open gym type environments that can happen in the summer, that sort of stuff put together can be very important in the development and, of course, the training of a team in the off season. And so if the team able to get together, put in a lot of work together in Cook Hall, in Assembly Hall, even in the sand pit, whatever it may be, that's going to be obviously a big benefit, not just for Indiana, but for all college basketball programs in the country. I'm under the understanding that just because the NCAA has approved these voluntary on-campus workouts beginning June 1st, it's still going to take approval from the Big Ten Conference, as they had shut things down from a conference level as well. I think people expect that the conference will open it back up if the NCAA says it's fine. But still, you've got a lot of different people in charge, governing bodies, conferences, other people making rulings, and they should in this time to make sure that everybody acts smart and acts healthy first and foremost. But it does get confusing when one person lifts a rule. Does it mean that across the board it's lifted as well? I think it's going to take approval from a lot of the conferences for their respective teams, and that would be the case in the Big Ten, I believe, as well. Also yesterday, the NCAA Division I Council took a step forward as far as changing transfer rules in Division I basketball and other sports like football, baseball, men's hockey as well. They approved a measure that calls for the development of new transfer legislation, and they would not vote on that until, I believe, it's January of next year, which means it would not take place for the forthcoming 2020-2021 college basketball season. What that means, that any non-graduate transfer, let's use Sean East, for example, that is an undergrad, just finished his freshman year of college. He left UMass, entered the transfer portal, eventually picked Bradley as his future home in college basketball. Had this one-time transfer legislation passed, as it was thought earlier in the spring it would, he would immediately be eligible for that one transfer. If he transferred again, he would not be eligible. But because that legislation, even though the recommendation in the spring from the committee that put the rule together was that it should be passed, the NCAA chose to put it on hold, and then yesterday announced that they're basically going to overhaul, work on complete new transfer legislation. So I think eventually people think the one-time thing's going to happen. It's just not going to happen now, and it's not going to affect the upcoming college basketball season. What could that mean for college basketball? I don't think it has any effect at Indiana, but there are certain players, I believe Kentucky has one of those players, that say, hey, if I cannot play immediately, I'll probably go the professional rank or follow another path in basketball if I've got to sit out a full year from basketball and not be able to participate in games. So there will be some effect, I think, on the upcoming college basketball season by the one-time transfer rule being basically tabled. I just don't know that it's going to have any effect with the IU program. Also, good news academically for the IU program, men's basketball, a perfect APR score, which is the academic performance rating that the NCAA uses to kind of hold some standard on academics with each of its member institutions. They give you a score. There's a score for each team. There's a score for the athletic department. And I tell you what, Indiana as a whole, 13 of their 22 athletic programs had perfect NCAA academic progress report scores. And these go back to the 2018-2019 academic year, the stuff that came out on Tuesday. Good news for IU athletics. I think it's expected news that you want to hear, that your grades and your athletes and your coaches are abiding by putting academics first in their, of course, the hectic schedules with practices and games and travel that these athletes face. It's really a remarkable contribution, or I should say a remarkable no question, a remarkable accomplishment for them, but definitely good news. When the academics are in where they should be, the focus can go on some of the other things and improving other aspects of teams and programs. And Indiana clearly has done what they need to do as of now from an academic standpoint. And IU basketball, it should be noted, their APR score, now perfect, has improved each and every year under Archie Miller. Also, Josh Jefferson, New Albany graduate, 2016 member of the state championship team. He's had a rough go of it in college. He went to a junior college, played his way to a Division I scholarship at Illinois State after 2 years of a good junior college career. Did not care for it at Illinois State. Wanted to make a change after a couple seasons. Entered the portal, liked Wisconsin Green Bay, really liked Coach Link Darner, who has an Indiana connection as a guy that's from our state, but it didn't work out. Link Darner surprisingly fired over the weekend, and now Josh has re-entered the portal with 1 year of eligibility left. And he does think that because his coach was terminated, there are waivers that exist that do allow you to play immediately. And he does feel fairly confident that because his coach was fired, when he does pick a new destination, he'll be able to file for a waiver, which very likely would allow him not to sit out again, which would not be good. He wants to get right to it and get to playing and have his final year of eligibility take place for the upcoming season. But he's heard from a number of schools. He told me this morning that Detroit Mercy, Eastern Illinois, Eastern Michigan, Illinois Chicago, Jackson State, Morehead State, San Diego, South Dakota State, Stony Brook, Temple, UTEP, and Western Kentucky are all schools that he has heard from as of this morning. So that's 12 Division I programs. His name has only officially been in the portal now for a couple days. I would expect that he would hear from some other schools. The good news is, for Josh, as tough as his college career has been with some transfers, coaching changes, and things like that, he is going to get an opportunity, it looks like, to finish out at a nice, solid, mid-major-type Division I program. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Don't forget, once we talk with Alex Bozich later in the program, our senior spotlight today is Madison Helton, a softball player at New Washington. We'll tell you all about her career at New Washington. We'll tell you a lot more about her as a student athlete as well and what her future plans are, all coming up in our spotlight segment later today. Stay with us. You're listening to a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall next. We'll talk IU basketball, some NCAA regulations put out yesterday, and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is my guest. We always talk IU basketball and college hoops in this segment. And Alex, I mentioned this in the opening segment today that I don't have anything specific to point to, but it sure seems from some of the different reports out there about the Major League Baseball, about the NBA, about college football. Yesterday, the NCAA announced a couple things like voluntary workouts would be allowed to resume on campuses beginning June 1st. It just seems like there's much more of a push and maybe an opportunity for sports to make a return. Maybe not immediately, maybe not in the next few weeks, but definitely at some point later this summer. I'm sure that we're all hopeful and optimistic and have our fingers crossed, but the last couple days, maybe there's a little momentum toward that.
Yeah, it's definitely, some good news that has come out in the last couple of days. You knew that a lot of these sports were going to try to make an attempt at some point to get back. It seems like the NFL is saying that they want to kind of go with business as usual in the fall. You saw yesterday the athletic director at Ohio State, Gene Smith, talked about plans to have different numbers of fans at games, which to me is obviously ambitious at this point, but it's at least good to see the talk of things like that. And, in Indiana, Matt, a lot of the recreational sports and things like that are slowly but surely coming back. So that's obviously a good sign. I still think there's a long way to go here. You think about, this has been, a little bit over 2 months now since the shutdowns and things have started. You think about how much things have changed in that amount of time, and you look at the calendar and we're not even at the end of May, and we've got obviously a lot of time to go before fall sports and college start. But I think the thing that I'm watching closest is next month the PGA is going to start bringing some events back. I want to see how that goes. Obviously, NASCAR is back right now. that to me is obviously one of the ones that makes sense to kind of bring back as soon as possible, because things like social distancing can be fairly easily implemented, at least with the drivers, a little bit tougher in the pits and things like that. But, you know, the next things I'm kind of looking forward to in terms of the check marks and seeing how they go is, you know, what's going to happen with the NBA. It seems like there's a lot of talk and a lot of different ideas being thrown around. I mean, the latest thing, obviously, that's kind of been going on the last couple of weeks, but really yesterday you saw some reporting on Twitter that, you know, the NBA is looking at going to Disney World, actually, and kind of being in that bubble and trying to finish their season down there. I think that would be an interesting thing and something to look forward to for sports fans, just to see some games. And then obviously Major League Baseball is the next thing. I mean, you know, baseball doesn't really have the presence in this country that it once had as a summer sport, but to a lot of people, it's a special thing to have in the summer, to be able to watch baseball, Major League Baseball. And if they're able to come back, I think that kind of gives a little bit more a sense of normalcy to the sports calendar. So those are, you know, there's a lot of different things going on as we sit here on May 21st. You know, I bet, Matt, if we have the same conversation months from now, there's going to be just a lot more things that we've learned. And obviously we continue to learn new things every day about the virus and different things. And so it's, you know, from a news perspective and things going on, it really hasn't been all that slow because the world is changing so quickly. But from a sports perspective and actual sports having things to talk about, I'm sure you've kind of realized this too, but on a day-to-day basis, it becomes more challenging to find things to talk about in different angles. And so I think we're all just hopeful that we at least get sports in some fashion back sooner rather than later, because not only is it something that people enjoy, I just think from a mental health perspective, to have people that follow these teams, have them, you know, in their day-to-day lives, and maybe, you know, maybe going through different things, to have that to look forward to and that team that they're connected to playing again, I think would go a long way just to helping society in general.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, our guest. I got to jump into this NCAA announcement yesterday. They approved the resumption of voluntary on-campus workouts beginning June 1st. And before we even talk about how that could aid the return of college football, or specifically for IU basketball, why that could be very positive for them, I think you and I are on the same page. I sent you a text when this announcement was made. There's so many different right now, even at the high school level, even at the local level, sports, non-sports, whatever it may be, there's so many different sets of regulations out there. There's the, in Indiana, the back on track Governor Holcomb plan, which Indiana bumped up a couple days early to the next phase, phase three. There's CDC requirements coming out of Washington. There's press conferences every day with President Trump and other, you know, governors and things like that. Different states have different levels right now, different rules right now. So even in just normal life, it's easy to get confused with, okay, what exactly is allowed? Can this type of business be open right now? Can they take this many people inside the business or the restaurant right now? With sports, it's the same way. It doesn't matter if it's high school, college, you've got the NCAA, at the college level, you've got conferences at the college level. At the high school level, we've seen the National Federation put out some guidelines this week. That doesn't necessarily mean that every high school athletic association like Indiana or Kentucky are going to adopt specifically all of those rules, but you would think they would be somewhere very similar to that. Locally, there are other requirements to follow as well. So just a lot of people out there with regulations, and I guess rightfully so, given the fact that we're in a pandemic. But just because the NCAA has approved these voluntary on-campus workouts, my understanding is, based on conference regulations, some things that the Big Ten presidents voted on when coronavirus became a real deal, won't they have to vote as well to allow that, to adopt what the NCAA has said to allow this to happen June 1st at Big Ten schools?
Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten right now, their moratorium's in place through June 1st, but I would expect that to be a formality in terms of them going along with what the NCAA said yesterday. So while they're, you know, the interesting thing about all of this is there's so many different agendas out there and different things. I mean, obviously, conference commissioners, they're not going to agree across the board. So we've talked about this a little bit before, Matt. You know, the thing I'm kind of interested to see is how the power structure within the NCAA and the decision making gets done with all of this, because you have a lot of SEC schools saying that they want to bring students back to campus and play schedules, and then you have things like what's going on out in California, where there's a lot of uncertainty as to whether there's going to be students even on campus and whether or not they're going to be able to play sports. And how do you manage this when you have disagreements between college commissioners on when season should start, how many games should be played, should there be reduced schedules, things like that. And I think the NCAA needs to have somebody that's kind of making decisions for the sports as a whole, because you can't have the Big Ten doing one thing and the SEC doing something else. It's got to be some general guidelines that are being followed around the country. So to me, that's really an interesting thing that's going to have to be sorted out as these months go by. And right now, I haven't really seen any indication that somebody is taking that lead or taking that role. I mean, it's obviously an unprecedented situation, and so you would expect there to be some confusion as to how all these things are going to get worked out. But I would just like to see at least an even level playing field to where everyone is kind of following the same set of rules. As difficult as that may be, I just think, you know, if you start a college football season and the SEC is playing and the Pac-12's not playing, I mean, how do you reconcile that in terms of just the competitive landscape? And I'd like to see either everybody play or you don't play at all. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Matt, but that's, to me, that's kind of the way it's going to have to be.
Yeah, I don't see how you – I mean, maybe California's out, but I don't see how you have a legitimate season and a legitimate champion in conferences where there's teams missing, or a national championship if there are teams missing. It just seems very interesting. Or maybe they'll go about it this year that we're just going to have sports and we're just glad we're playing, and it's good for the economy and it's good for the mental state of sports fans, and maybe championships won't matter as much, although I find that hard to believe knowing college sports and how seriously they're taking and how much money surrounds these things. But I guess taking the workouts, if they happen, and I think they will, it sounds like it's all headed that way for June 1st or at some point in June. From an IU perspective and from a college football perspective, kind of putting those two together, I've got to believe that June workouts are huge for the return in some form or fashion of college football. I also, from an IU basketball perspective, am curious your thoughts if the Indiana team is able to get back to campus, is able to do some of the standard things they've done in the offseason, the training, both basketball and just physical training, to get ready for the grueling Big Ten season with the roster that Indiana has and the newcomers joining the team, and of course Christian Lander wanting to get there a year ahead of time and maybe jump up to speed with weights and strength and things like that, why that could be important on both of those fronts.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a good thing if you can get guys back on campus, but if you read the announcement carefully, it's not going to be anything that's coach guided or coach involved or reporting back to coaches, and I think there's going to be very little tolerance from the NCAA on violating that sort of thing. It sounds like to me that it's going to be all voluntary stuff, and it's going to be, you know, based on kind of reading what it says, I mean, where a coach needs to be present, and that to me reads strength and conditioning type stuff. So from an IU basketball perspective, that could be involvement from Cliff Marshall. But this is definitely not going to be your normal summer where you have certain amount of hours to work with guys or do small group workouts. This is going to be voluntary stuff, and this may not happen at IU, but you're going to have situations around the country where certain guys just aren't ready to come back and don't feel, you know, for whatever reason, if it's from a health thing or their parents don't want them on campus. There's going to be examples of that's why it's being listed as voluntary. They're not going to be able to force kids in a global pandemic to come back to campus when so much is unknown. So, you know, for the guys who want to take advantage of it, I think it can be used as a good opportunity, but you're going to see some situations around the country where, you know, certain schools or whatever athletic departments make decisions where they're not going to not going to allow it based on university policy. I mean, I think when you look at kind of the idea of having these unpaid athletes come to campus and work out at the same time when you don't have students on campus, that's just going to, I think, open up a lot of potential criticism and even kind of strengthen the argument that these guys need to be paid and compensated in some way. And that's why I think it's definitely worded in there that it's voluntary, because there's just no way from a PR perspective that you can call mandatory workouts when you don't even have regular students on campus taking classes.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, our guest. Another NCAA item I wanted to bring up, and that we've had this discussion before. I think the last time we talked about it, it was kind of assumed that this was going to happen, that one-time transfers for undergraduate transfers would be allowed, and there really is no issue with this from an IU perspective for next season, but it definitely will affect other Big Ten teams and college basketball as a whole. Then after thinking it was going to pass, the thought changed after an NCAA meeting that no, it may not this year, and now we know officially as of yesterday they're kind of going to rework a lot of the transfer legislation, vote on it sometime maybe early next year, and obviously it will have no effect on the upcoming college season. It would be affecting the season after this one. So I don't know exactly what to make, if the one-time thing will still be on the table, if it will still get a push from its members to become a new NCAA rule. But, man, I tell you what, it's been all over the place, from going to happen to maybe going to happen to now not going to happen, at least for the upcoming year.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you talk about how much the world has changed in the last couple of months. It's kind of hard to keep up with all the different things that are going on with NCAA legislation in this time. It's not only do you have the pandemic going on, but you have a lot of just different things going on in terms of name, image, and likeness and the transfer stuff. So it definitely can be best described as a fluid situation. I would have liked to seen that kind of moved forward, and I would have liked to seen the one-time transfer implemented. I think that's something we've talked about before, Matt. I just don't I don't understand why there's certain sports where it's fine to do that without sitting out, transferring a year without sitting out, and there's certain sports where it's just not allowed, and you have a lot of people just talking about how it'd be free agency and chaos. And it's like, well, coaches leave all the time, so why can't players? I would have just liked to see that handled and implemented sooner rather than later. I mean, I think eventually it's going to happen, but I don't know why it can't happen right now.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Final topic I want to cover with you today. This is a positive one for Indiana, and I mentioned in the headline segment that the APR, the Academic Progress Report, that is a score each team and then the athletic department as a whole can add up. Those results really good for IU sports across the board. 13 of the 22 programs had perfect scores. Men's basketball had a perfect score, and that score has went up every year now that Archie Miller has been on the helm. But I do know, I want to mention, there is a little delay because the scores, I believe, are from the 2018-19 academic year, so there's a little bit of a lag behind on what exactly you're reviewing and scoring, but still some very positive news for the athletic department as a whole, and of course great to see for IU basketball with all the negative things out there in college basketball and college sports today. Indiana basketball, despite the travel, despite the grueling just environment that these kids have to face with sports and academics, great to see that the university and these kids have made a commitment to not only getting above the minimum needed to be eligible for the postseason, but really excelling and having a perfect APR score.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people probably look at it and say this should be the standard every year. I mean, why shouldn't IU be in that position? And there were some years there late in Tom Crean's tenure, for whatever reason, transfers, guys leaving early, where academics maybe weren't, you know, up to the standard. And so it's good to see that getting back to what it should be, and hopefully that's something that can continue moving forward, because it does have an impact on your postseason eligibility if you ever get down to those levels that are kind of on the border. So Indiana was kind of, when Archie took over, it was kind of touch and go there a little bit in terms of meeting those thresholds, but it seems like things are moving in the right direction. So that's definitely some positive news during this time where there's just so much uncertainty in the world.
I said that was my final topic. I lied because I did want to get your comments on IU's schedule for next year. Dustin Dopierak and I discussed this in some detail yesterday, but according to Adam Zagoria, IU's going to play in the Gavitt tip-off games against a Big East opponent to be specifically named at a little bit later date. But the thought is that game would be on the road. Of course, we know the Maui Invitational. We know the ACC Big Ten Challenge is another big non-conference opportunity that we think will be on the road for this Indiana team. I'm not really surprised about the number of big matchups. We don't know all the teams just yet. But I am surprised it looks like a number of them are going to happen on the road for this team. And I tell you, after last year, it's a great example of how tough it is to win and play on the road in college basketball. It doesn't matter if it's your conference, the best team in the conference, the worst record in the conference, non-conference. Going on the road and winning in college basketball at the level Indiana's at, the high major level, it's a very tough thing to do. And this Indiana team, they are going to be extremely challenged in the non-conference portion of their schedule. I have to believe that is all by design of Archie Miller.
Yeah, I'd be surprised to see both Gavitt and Big Ten ACC on the road, because if that happens, you've got those two games. You've got Maui, the potential for Maui. We'll see what goes on with that. And then, obviously, the Crossroads Classic, that would be six non-conference games away from home. That would be pretty rare. So we'll see how it all shakes out. I wouldn't, you know, usually this time of year we start to get Gavitt games matchups and we start to get ACC Big Ten. That timeline for that, you know, maybe pushed out a little bit. It may take a little longer to get those things because it's obviously not the a common off season, and there's a lot of moving parts. So we'll cross that bridge when we get the info. But I would be a little bit surprised to see that many games, either, you know, four neutral court games and two road games on a non-conference schedule would be pretty ambitious, especially for a program now that hasn't made the NCAA tournament since 2016. I think you'd want to have as many opportunities at home to kind of get some wins kind of in the bank going into Big Ten play, which is going to be difficult again next season.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. He joins us Thursdays. We talk IU basketball and more. Alex, thanks for the extended chat today.
Absolutely, Matt. Have a good one.
All right, Alex Bozich with us, a little IU basketball on this Thursday. And I tell you what, Alex said he's right. It's been a different time with no live sports. You look for different things to cover, to talk about, to keep Inside the Hall, his site, going, to keep the Hoosier Report radio show going. But there have been a lot of things there, you know, whether it's rule stuff with the NCAA, whether it's news surrounding the virus and the return of sports, different stuff that we normally would never talk about. But there have been a number of items to kind of keep you interested in the sports world. And we are glad to have you with us each and every day at 11 a.m. here on the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with a quick final segment, a couple notes, and then also our senior spotlight athlete today for a senior that has unfortunately lost their entire season, their final season of high school sports due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Today we profile Madison Helton of New Washington softball, and we'll do that later in the program today. Stay with us. You are listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program, final segment. Just a couple notes to pass along before we get to our senior spotlight today. Indiana coach Archie Miller, he's the latest guest to join a interview series called Social Distance, which is awful fitting of the time that we're in right now on 247sports.com. He's interviewed by Evan Daniels, of course, a very familiar name in the basketball recruiting world and the college hoops world as well. He talks about Trace Jackson Davis, his take on recruiting during the pandemic, and learning and sharing notes with other coaches on these Zoom calls, these video calls during the pandemic, and the importance of recruiting the state of Indiana. I've not yet had an opportunity to listen. It was just posted earlier this morning at 247sports.com by Evan Daniels. But obviously we don't get a lot of opportunities to hear from Archie Miller, especially in the offseason. We did get a chance to hear him on a podcast that was on the Pigs.com website where he really went in depth about a number of topics. But I look forward to hearing this because, again, when you don't hear him talk all the time, some college programs are led by coaches that seem to be on all the time, whether it's radio shows or calling press conferences. And sometimes it's good to just give an update in a down period like this. But neat to hear from Archie Miller a couple times here in this offseason. And look forward to listening to that. You can find it on this social distance segment, also part of the 247 Sports, the Pigs.com site as well. So you can find it on Pigs.com if you want to check out what Coach Miller has to say. One other note, I did not include this in our headline segment today, but Floyd Central's Jake Heidbreder added another Division I offer yesterday. He picks up an offer from Navy. So another neat offer to his growing list of Division I schools that are expressing interest in his services. Let's wrap up the show with our senior spotlight. Each day we profile a senior athlete here in the area that unfortunately has lost their spring season due to the pandemic that we are currently in. There have been so many great athletes with successes on the field, off the field, in the classroom, and that have great plans for their future. And today we have another great example of that. From New Washington High School, Madison Helton is our profile athlete today. She is a softball player for the Mustangs. Athletically, she was the 2019 Softball All-Southern Athletic Conference Hitting Award player and All-Conference player as well in the conference, also won the Hitting Award. I believe that award was for her team. Academically, she's currently, as things stand at New Washington High School, the salutatorian for the Mustangs. And obviously, to reach that level of accomplishment with your grades, you've got to be pretty serious about your schoolwork, and Madison definitely is. She wanted to give a shout-out to Coach Curtis, one of her coaches at New Washington, for all of her support and help. And when she's not playing sports or doing schoolwork, she has a number of hobbies. She likes to draw, likes being involved with the 4-H, and also enjoys spending time with her dog, Bella. Madison Helton is the daughter of Jeremy and Trisha Helton, and when her high school career wraps up here basically right now and she officially graduates from New Washington, she will get the opportunity to go on to the next level and play the sport that she loves. She will play for Oakland City University, and the cool thing about Oakland City is they recently joined the same conference, the River States Conference, and the same level as IU Southeast, so they'll have some games. She'll have some games locally as well when we get back into sports, hopefully next spring, and her softball season begins at the collegiate level. Again, our spotlight athlete today, Madison Helton of New Washington, a softball player. Madison, we are so sorry that the season was canceled. We are so sorry that all the work and buildup for your final year was taken away, but we wanted to do our part, a small part, in recognizing all the work that you've put in over the years to be a great softball player for New Washington and obviously a great student as well. It has paid off, and you'll get the opportunity to go to college and play the sport you love. And I know a lot of people here in the area will be following every move you make as a softball player at the college level. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday. Back with you Friday at 11 o'clock for the final day of the week. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories, and thanks all of our senior spotlight sponsors, Republic Bank, Allen Electrical, and UPSJobs.com/Louisville.